This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
If music be the food of love, play on, play on. Give me excess of it, that's a fitting play on. Train again, it had a dying fall. Oh, it came over my ear like the sweet sound that breathes upon a bank of violence, stealing and giving odoring now.
This is Front Row on a Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng. Last Saturday, shortly after lunch, I visited WVC Malaysian Jazz Ensemble during the rehearsal for an upcoming concert. The practice was being held at Tay Chiu Siang's apartment in his rather large and spacious living room, which accommodated his keyboard, a drum set, a very low platform about 3 centimeters high and about a meter by a meter for the tap dancer. The room was big enough to include a saxophonist who sat on the couch with his sheet music on the coffee table before him, 2 guitarists with their amps, a singer, and 1 roving photographer made up the cast of 8. There was enough chairs for all. Oh, I forgot. There was 1 little boy with a tablet sitting on a stool. He's AJ's, the bass guitarist's son. Now in the studio with me are Chiu Siang, Julian Chan, and Aaron Teo, vocalist. Welcome, guys.
Thank you. Thanks.
Happy to be here.
One thing that I noticed most about how you guys rehearse was that it seems so simple. You know, when actors rehearse, it's like a nightmare. What exactly is it that you guys do when you rehearse? What do you try to achieve?
I think that that's the characteristic of jazz, is that as a composer, I have to prepare kind of the roadmap. You know, in music, I need to give direction. Like, we do this, we do that. And then after that, it's improvisation. That's what we call solo section. So solo section, I don't dictate that you have to do this, you have to do that. I merely kind of like draw out a road that you can take this road, but if you decide to take the dirt road, it's up to you. But as long as you know how to come back, that's fine. So that's why usually in a jazz band, our rehearsal usually consists of trying to get the feel of the music. But at the end of the day, when we perform, you will actually hear something that's quite different from what you heard
at the rehearsal.
Yeah, that's why our rehearsal is usually quite fast. But I would say that this kind of ability, this kind of be able to play like that, needs a lot of your own. You know, you have to work on that at your own, rather than come in and only you, oh, I don't know how to play this beat or something like that.
So the music was sent out to the musicians quite early so that they could practice at home.
Yeah, I think about 1-2 weeks before we rehearse. But for Aaron, let's say he learned the melody first to put into the words. I mean, despite of his very, very busy schedule. So for him, he has to kind of at least know the songs well enough. And as for other musicians, usually the map is kind of, you know, kind of tell the direction already. And when we put together, we need to kind of like juggle a bit. Like, let's say, okay, I will tell the drummer, I need here to be lesser, don't play so much. So as a composer, I have that kind of...
An arranger too. You
yes,
also arrange
exactly,
the music.
Yes. Yeah. So I need to give that kind of direction. But other than that, I won't tell them, you have to play exactly this. No. Actually, it's really a kind of a really group effort.
So Julian, when you got the music about 2 weeks ago, what did you do with it?
I basically have to look at it, of course. I think a lot of the times when I look at something new, I won't really understand what's going on first, but I just read through the notes and try to play it. After a while, you know, I think sometimes for some rhythm music, the music actually can kind of speak for itself. That's not always the case, but I basically have to do a lot of homework and back work and like work on playing what's on the page first. Then once I get that done, then once the whole band gets together, I don't have to worry about playing wrong notes or whatever, but just learning to fit in the feel of the song or the feel of the whatever arrangement that we're doing.
Do you memorize what he has given you?
In this case, not necessarily. I mean, it's too short a time to really memorize everything. That's one of the advantages about musicians who can read, is that we don't necessarily have to memorize the notes like 100%, but we do have to try to remember what the feel of it is. So once we play and play what's on the page, then, you know, it just flows because you really know what to expect in terms of the groove, the feel, what tempo, and little things like that.
After practicing the music that he gave you, do you have this, like, in a sense, in your head so that you don't have to look at every note and every bar so that you are on the same page?
I think from the beginning, we'll more or less be on the same page. As far as looking at every bar and all that, that one will take many repetitions before we get there. I played in like musicals and stuff like that before, because we play the same music the same way every night. The tendency of that happening is a lot higher, but for something a little less, I would rather say a little bit more open, then I have to look at the page, but at the same time, I'm paying attention to what's happening around me.
But when you have a singer, though, and the singer has words, I guess it's probably less flexible for a singer to kind of improvise. You cannot suddenly say, okay, I'm going to add words, right?
Well, I think if you were a good enough vocalist, I'm pretty sure you can. Like, I think Aretha Franklin and people like that have done amazing things like
scat.
That before. Scatting and things like that. I'm by no means a jazz expert. Like, this is just me dabbling. I've heard WVC play several times as a trio, as a plus one, with vocalists, with instrumentalists. And every time it's a completely different show. And it's really daunting to be in the same room with that kind of talent, to be honest. So I was given the music, like Jay Sang said, I was given the music, I think, about a month ago. So I have twice the amount of time to sort of like be familiar with my music. But it's still not enough. It's so open. I'm not a classical musician, but I have got a classical teacher for the past 3 years. And so I'm pretty used to sort of trying to follow the score and counting and everything. The second I walk into a rehearsal with Jay Siang, it's like, okay, so the score is just a rough guide. You feel free, you do whatever you want. Yeah, you put the word here, you put the word there, you can take a pause, you can take away from this and you add it there. And I'm like, oh, right. Okay, so now that with this kind of freedom, I don't know what I'm going to do with it just yet. But it's interesting. It's interesting. This is absolutely new territory. I'm really happy to be able to share the stage with such amazing talents, really. Like, it's.
Yeah, I'm asking these questions partly because of a very selfish reason. Because when I saw you guys rehearse, it seemed so, like, so relaxed, so easy. You come in. You know, you do this, you do that. And the instructions you gave Che Xiang were very, in a sense, kind of loose and open.
Yes.
In the theatre, which I'm more familiar with, when we rehearse, it's quite rigid. Some directors are so clear about you walk there and you stop there. It's that kind of a director also. And of course, with actors having lines, it's harder to, especially when you're performing Shakespeare and where the script, where you have to stick with the rhythm and all that, you cannot improvise.
Exactly. I really have utmost respect for you guys, really, what you are doing. And I always like cannot wrap around my head. How do you guys remember all those lines?
Yeah.
I want to remember like 5 words. I already like struggling, and you have to remember so many words.
Some of us would like to have the script in our hand, but unfortunately, we can't.
Exactly. Maybe Google Glass next time or something.
It's even more challenging, you know, than a classical musician. I mean, I kind of equate when you guys do theater, it's almost like classical music.
Yes,
everything is done for a reason. Every kind of movement or every kind of thing is done for. It needs to be there for a reason. I can understand that. It's very different from a jazz performance.
Yes.
I think theatre is a lot like classical music in that sense. But the only difference is that you don't have sheet music in front of you. So that to me is a really big thing.
You rehearse in your apartment. Mm. The acoustics there will be different. So when you go into the performance space itself, then how do you adjust for the sound? My sense is that when you are playing Che Xiang, you're hearing them, but at the same time, you are not hearing like the audience because you are not sitting on the other side.
Exactly.
So what do you have to do to kind of balance the sound so that, wow, this is perfect?
Actually, very good question. And it brought us to that one tune that I wrote, which I chose this particular phrase, give thy ear, feel thy voice. That's actually what we are doing. Even though we are making sound, but at the same time, our ears have to always open and listen to our band members react. And that's why it's a very open kind of structure. And I cannot really dictate, say, you have to do this here, do that there. But rather, when this happened, I can react like this or that. Mm. And it's like two or even five different roads that you can take, which it will lead to another five or ten roads and things like that. So we always react.
What role would a sound engineer play in this thing?
I think at least in a jazz performance, also inside a theater, usually we will have our own monitors. Mm. And the sound engineer will try to at least give us some comfortable sound. And when we play, we try not to overpower everybody else. But if it's our time to shine, so-called, if it's our time to solo, sure, we need to step up. But when it's ensemble work, we need to really keep our volume or actually kind of like flow together. So yeah. This part, we need to, you know, have a climax. So everybody contribute to that. But maybe this song, you know, after climax, we need to suddenly drop. Everybody kind of need to be sensitive enough and like contribute to that drop. And audience can hear that big difference, contrast. So for us, it's that way.
So during a live performance, you really rely on the monitor, and the sound engineer's role then is to provide you with the sound through the monitors.
Yes.
And actually, it's not the sound engineer trying to say, okay, lower the volume on
the... He is a good engineer and he knows the music well. Sometimes, you know, rely on them as well.
A good sound engineer really allows the band or the ensemble to do what they do at a very natural way.
Yeah.
And basically, at least for front of house, they try to get as much balance and very clear sound from everybody as much as possible. I definitely don't agree about sound engineers telling the band to lower down when they're not supposed to do so.
See, not telling, but rather they are just doing it when the music is going on.
Wow. So, as though they're conducting the other arrangers.
Exactly. Then that's a big problem.
Yeah, but sound engineers are equally as important as musicians.
Yeah, so, man.
If you ask a lot of professionals out there, we can actually conclude that actually sound engineers are also musicians in that sense. They're part of the band because they help make the band sound good.
Mm, true. Teja Siang, Julian Chan, and Aaron Teo. They'll be performing at a concert titled If Music Be the Food of Love, Jazz On. Coming up, we'll find out the challenges of putting Shakespeare to song and dance. This is Front Row on the Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
That time of year, thou mayst in me behold, when yet lowlies or none of you do hang. Up on the boughs which shake against the cold, bare ruined choirs where late the sweet birds sang. In me thou seest the twilight of such day. Shall I come bear thee to a summer's day? Thou art more lovely and more temperate. Rough winds do shake the darling buds of May, and summer's lethe hath all too short a day.
You're tuned to Front Row on the Bigger Picture, and I'm Lim Soon Heng talking to three from an upcoming concert at KLPAC as part of its celebration of Shakespeare's 400th anniversary of his death. WVC Malaysian Jazz Ensemble will be performing a concert titled If Music Be the Food of Love, Jazz On. Okay, let's jump into this concert. How did you come up with the title?
A friend of mine told me that, oh, there's this particular, you know, like a phrase from Shakespeare's play that talks about music. So, if music be the food of love, play on. I thought, wow, this is really clever idea. So, if you substitute that play on with jazz on, then it's a jazz concert already.
How did you get involved in doing a performance for a Shakespeare celebration? Well, actually, you know, I would not have thought of, if I were putting a concert, oh, let's get jazz people to come in.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> In fact, because of talking to Ian from KL Pact, I was meeting him for another project, and he mentioned this Shakespeare thing. It was actually in 2015, end of 2015. So he mentioned this celebration of Shakespeare's works. in year 2016. In my head, I actually heard this recording of Duke Ellington's Such Sweet Thunder, Sweet. So it's a compilation of all the tunes that he composed with his assistant, Billy Strayhorn. He composed many pieces based on Shakespeare's sonnets. And also, there's this particular piece that I love a lot, Star-Crossed Lovers.
Ah, must be about Romeo and Juliet.
Exactly, exactly.
So you're playing that one?
We are playing that one. And also, why I have such deep impression about this piece is because my favorite author, Haruki Murakami, in one of his books, West of the Sun, South of the Border, this particular piece actually was featured very heavily throughout the book. For me, reading that, have this deep impression and listen to the music, it really like, wow, you know, one of these days I want to play this music. So I suggested to Ian, and he talked to
Joe
and they were like, good, do it. And I'm in trouble. I was like, I mean, at first I thought, oh, it's just an idea. And you know? You know? Then a whole concert of that. So I went back and I tried to choose tunes from that Such Sweet Thunder suite. And I only get to choose like two, Such Sweet Thunder and Star-Crossed Lovers. The others kind of like, you know, really, this is very subjective, right? Like I didn't really agree with some of the choices.
Interpretation?
Because Lady Macbeth is a blues. Like this like sassy,
too gentle,
sassy lady come out or something like that. So to me, I'm not really, you know? So I have to write something. Then I started looking into all these different plays and sonnets. And also thanks to some friends, some suggestions. Okay, these few sonnets are really interesting. So I printed out about 10, brought them around with me everywhere I go. Whenever I have time, I have to like look at them, really.
Study them.
Like try to read them out loud. So after, I think it took me at least 4 to 5 months to really comfortably
say, you did your homework.
Really, it was tough, really, it was tough. But I kind of happy with the outcome and also actually I thought about Aaron when I started writing all these melodies. His voice is in my head when I write them.
Nice.
What are the challenges of composing something like this? At least you don't have to fight with the words.
Exactly.
In the sense that you don't have to come up with lyrics. You just find the lyrics and
exactly.
You have to compose music
yes.
to them. And in particular with the sonnets, sonnets themselves already have a particular beat to them. So how did you have to kind of juggle all these balls?
I have to say, ignorance is bliss. Because like I'm not so like straitjacketed by all this knowledge. Because I'm growing up in a very Chinese environment. And the first few Shakespeare's, I still have the books, like a big, like complete
collection.
Shakespeare's, but translated into Chinese. So that was my first, you know,
exposure
to Shakespeare. And so I didn't really have that burden of, yeah, Shakespeare have to be like that. But rather, I kind of like, you know, try to put them into more modern kind of rhythm. So I guess maybe some of them might be wrong to Shakespeare's experts like you.
No, happy.
So the music actually comes after quite a while of pondering. Took me a long time. At first, get familiar with how the words flow first. And then I just do a lot of drafts. I try to understand, of course, the meaning. And sometimes some lines really leaped out from the page. So like really give me an idea. Oh, this is kind of like a darker, you know, color, and this can be kind of like happier. So
since you mentioned that,
yes.
You know, you read Shakespeare first in Chinese. When you read the sonnets, did you look for a Chinese translation of the sonnets too, or did you just went with the sonnets as given?
Yeah, for this particular project, I went to the original, and also of course from.
No Fear Shakespeare.
Very helpful that. Okay, so here's original text and here's the modern English equivalent. So at least I understand what he's talking about. What else? Some of the words, huh? And even like pronunciation-wise, like
yep.
Really wrong.
Aaron, you're singing some of the sonnets and also, if I'm not mistaken, you're also singing If Music Is the Food of Love, Play On
yep,
by
that's
by Orsino, yeah. So what did you have to do for your own preparation?
The music really speaks for itself. Each one comes with a really different sort of groove and style, and that really clues you into what Chia Xiang's trying to bring out from some of these things. There's one, I can't even remember which number the sonnet is. It's in the 6-4 with the cloud sound.
Okay.
And it's a really, really laid back number. And as I was trying to tackle it, Chiseng said, okay, this one really cannot sing as per written, because if it does, then it sounds very weird. So you really have to take your time with this. So it was really daunting. But again, because of the songwriting and because of the words featured there, it sort of speaks to you on more than just a linguistic level. It sort of clues you into what's trying to happen, like at maybe even at a subconscious level.
Shakespeare, when he composed his sonnets, some would say these sonnets are for the dark lady. These series of sonnets are for this young man and this for another friend. And you have a song which has words from Orsino. Do you try to put yourself in the head, okay, I'm singing this, I'm going to be the character Orsino, or I'm Shakespeare talking to my lover who is this dark lady. Do you put that into your head?
No, to be honest, not yet. Again, I don't have much experience when it comes to Shakespeare. It's kind of like a completely different animal. Like, I graduated in theatre, but we focused very much heavily on Asian theatre, contemporary theatre. Of course, we studied like Greek theatre and stuff like that, but I've never actually taken a stab at performing Shakespeare. From my experience, like when I take a look at these songs and stuff, I try to sort of put myself into...
You are speaking with somebody.
Yeah.
So it's Aaron's song.
Yeah. I guess I'm a little bit more free that way. Like I don't have those limitations of, oh, it's this character speaking to this character at this particular time. And I guess that's the sort of freeing magic of like jazz music.
Julian, so mm-hmm. What's your experience?
Wow, I think I just have to be just really attentive to what's happening just within the music. I mean, because it's a lot of information to take in, you know. I mean, learning to deal with the emotion, the story behind the sonnets or certain works. So I try to just go with it and try to tap into whatever emotion or sentiment that's within the music and whatever's going on at the time that we are rehearsing or playing it then. And I just try to make it work, actually. So,
which for me is a very interesting concept, at least in my head. When you say musicians try to make music work, whatever the music is trying to evoke, how much is in the music as written and how much comes from you, the musician? I'm going to take you back to a concert that I saw you guys play. Oh, it was Waiting for the Day.
Waiting for that day.
You know, I was really moved by your saxophone playing.
Thank you. I was really, really moved.
And for me, it's like, okay, what is going on in his head? You know, because you have this slides going on behind of pictures of a particular event, which many of us were involved in one way or another. And with that music playing, and it's kind of like a very haunting, you know? Mm. And tell me, I don't know what words to use, but what went on in your head?
In reference to that concert, to be honest, I couldn't see what was going on with the slides because I was playing.
But you knew, though, I'm sure, because you have rehearsed.
Because we've been playing the music a lot and for many years. So all of us are very clear with the sentiment of the music that we're playing. Even though the melody is the same and the settings which are the same, but the emotions evoked at that time of performance will always be different. You know, we still have that reference, you know, of a particular event or a particular moment. But sometimes the emotion that comes out is also very different. And I just try to remember what I'm playing for, what the song is about, and I just try to project it in whatever I'm playing at the time. So, but it's always been a personal musical goal of mine to play, to develop a good saxophone sound in such a way that I play one note and people can just feel something. So that's always been my own personal musical goal as well. And it's through this music and practically any kind of music that allows me to do that, I just try to project whatever I feel, whatever I've experienced into that note that I'm playing.
Just so you compose a particular piece based on Hamlet's very famous soliloquy, to be or not to be. Very dangerous in a way, right? So many people know it by heart.
Exactly.
So many people have their own interpretation.
Exactly.
In fact, just this year when they had the celebration in UK, Prince Charles had his own
exactly.
reading. All the different people have their own reading.
That's a very good one. I love that one.
You know, the question is, when you compose this and you, therefore, as the musician, you have a certain rhythm to it. And then, if I'm not mistaken, you're getting somebody to read. So, how is this going to be juggled?
Well, yeah, this particular piece, like you said, it's a big challenge. And it took me also going through many drafts just to come to this particular one that we are playing. And I kind of take that the most famous line ever, to be or not to be, that is the question. I read it out loud many times, kind of like, you know, catch that particular melody and rhythm that comes into my mind. So that's kind of like the motive for this tune. And throughout the performance, you can hear this particular motive over and over again. Rather than try to push the whole soliloquy into like word by word, note by note, I thought of a way of doing it that rather than sing it out loud, I have somebody read it while music is going on. Also, the other point of reference actually comes from John Coltrane's A Love Supreme. So A Love Supreme is kind of also a suite, but the last part is kind of like Coltrane's saxophone incantation. He's like praying or something. To me, it's not religious in the sense of the organized religion, but rather it's very spiritual. So this particular piece, To Be or Not To Be, also give me that particular idea.
Spiritual.
Very spiritual. So musically and from the words, I try to combine these two. Of course, we are still trying to, you know, make it happen. I hope people, when they come and listen to us, they can find that, you know, feel that spirituality.
If Music Be the Food of Love, Jazz On is a concert by the WVC Malaysian Jazz Ensemble, together with some invited guests like Aaron, the vocalist, tap dancer, and Audrey Than, another saxophonist. Mm-hmm. And WVC is made up of, you know, Che Xiang, Julian Chan,
AJ,
and their percussionists.
KJ Wong.
The concert starts Thursday, May 19th, and runs through Saturday, May 21st at 8:30 p.m. And the last performance is on Sunday, May 22nd at 3 p.m. Performances are in KL Pax Pentas 2, and tickets are priced at 45 ringgit or 230 ringgit for a table of four with a bottle of wine.
Yeah.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you so Thank much, Sun
Thank you.
This is Lim Sun Hing, BFM 89.9. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.